Here's the deal. I'm the best there is, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Silver Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I got a lot of news to get to. We got a lot of school news to get to. So, Nicole, you brought something to my attention last night, and I'm very deeply touched by this.
It's cool, right?
Yeah. Although I'm still trying to get more details.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Did you figure out where it's happening?
Yeah, it's on the downtown Seattle waterfront. An artist has made a mural called Everything Seattle. And he asked for permission. He wanted to use the Cairo Radio logo. And then he sent a copy of the mural. And all the shops down on the waterfront, Edgewater Inn, Yale Curiosity Shop, and the Space Needle. And I guess they're all on board with this. But I still am not sure where it's going to be posted. But, I mean, it doesn't take much to make me deeply touched by things.
But you're among the likes of Kurt Cobain.
Well, I'm looking at this mural, and I don't know who some of the people are, I will admit. There's Bruce Lee.
Ichiro.
Ichiro is in there. Kurt Cobain.
I think that's Elvis. I think World's Fair. Elvis.
Oh, Elvis at the World's Fair. Okay. Yeah, and then there are a couple I can't quite make out. I see the Kingdom. I see more musical notes. But the only media person is little old me.
I know, you're kind of all by yourself there in the corner.
Yeah, but here's what I'm worried about. If this is a mural that's reachable, my picture's in the bottom. Oh, J.P. Patches is on there.
Oh, yeah.
There's J.P. Patches, my hero, my buddy.
People would not deface art like this.
They wouldn't deface an iconic Seattle mural, would they?
I hope not.
Okay. But yeah, so they included me on this mural. It's very, very sweet.
It does look like something that might be put indoors, so
yeah,
those tend to get defaced less often.
Do I have that much of a Eddie Munster widow's peak now?
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. He gave me the real Eddie Munster.
Visible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess that's very realistic. So anyway, it was very nice. I appreciate, I got to get the artist's name who's doing this. His name's Ronnie. Ronnie, who asked for permission. So yes, of course I can be part of the Everything Seattle mural that is, and we're trying to get more details where on the waterfront it's going up and all that, but it's very, very sweet and very, very touched and honored
and
by
beautiful.
This. Yeah, it's wonderful artistry. It's an incredible work of art.
I mean, it's so, kind of a collage. That's what I guess we could describe it. It's kind of, I mean, I don't know. Is this pen? It looks like a penciled collage, but I'm sure it's not pencil. But,
yeah.
But that's what it looks like. It's amazing.
I gotta get a copy of it, though. Put it up in the office here at home.
There we go.
Yeah. How is it, by the way? You're back in the office now.
I am.
How is
that? Been here all in the studio.
Yeah. Well, you weren't all alone.
I need to get up and walk around more. I feel like I'm sitting the whole 3 hours. At home, I would walk around a lot.
No, you're with Jack and Markovich and Bose and Brandy the whole last week. They were all in there with you.
Well, Jack wasn't, but yes, the rest of them were.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. If I was a good friend, I'd just come and hang out with you.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a good friend.
If. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But no, it's, you know. It's the office. Same old, same old.
Yeah, but is everybody back now? Or almost? You're working on it?
Mostly, I think so. I mean, it still seems pretty empty in the newsroom.
Okay.
And there are people out there, but it's not the beehive it used to be. A bunch of busy bees running around.
Well, it's weird because, I have a lot of friends who work for other radio companies. And before COVID, going back to, 2018, 19, I'd go and visit them at, you know, CBS and radio in Seattle or iHeart or, you know, some of the other companies. And you could fire a cannon through what used to be, you know, busy rooms of people, you know, and they have cubicles everywhere. And now radio stations sit largely empty, especially the music stations. We still have a big presence because we do so much local news and we, you know, break stories and we drive stories and drive news. So we have a big presence still in the building and on staff. But man, music radio, they're down to the barest of bones.
They are. They've been cutting back slowly over the last maybe 10, 15 years, but then COVID really cut them back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then all of our stations, of course, are spoken word. So we have 710, which has a huge on-air staff, and 770, which has small on-air staff, but still they're local, so many of the people. So anyway,
it's the localness that keeps us alive, I think, over here, because the music stations have all gone national syndicated, so all they have different people that just voice track for all the stations, and they don't really localize anything, and that's why we're staying employed, because local.
We are the only future of radio, because, you know, then you get down to people my daughter's ages, their 20s and early 30s, and they never listen to music radio. Never. I mean, they have their own streaming services and all of their own sources of music, but music radio is not on that list. And the one radio format, not to brag on us too much, but the one radio format that can still do what your smartphones and your satellite services and none of the others can do, is local news talk.
So far. I mean, I think every day, you know, we just gotta keep on plugging and making people tune in and giving them something to tune in for, because I think that could change any day.
So, well, it
we
can
try to stay relevant.
As far as some of the content, but
it's
you can never
more
change
accessible.
The people who can, you know, first of all, we break a lot of stories on our show, but then we have a lot of hosts who provide, you know, analysis and commentary, and that's something that's not replicable yet in any other format, in any other streaming format, and so, which is why we're doing so great, which is why our station is doing so fantastic, and our show has been doing really well. So there you have it. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
I want to comment on, I believe we talked about this on this show. My other hosts talked about this last week. But there was a Washington State Board of Education meeting last week. And in it, they talked so much about how they want to implement what they call race equity theory. It's critical race theory is what it is, even though we have a superintendent and a lot of people in the schools who say, oh, it's not part of our curriculum, critical race theory. Well, it is. And we're seeing how damaging it is. But as I listened to this whole board, this is what I did when I was sick. I sat and listened to this whole Board of Education meeting, pulling some cuts that I could share with you. And one of them, while I acknowledged last hour that the tribes complaining about these, you know, white privilege anti-hunters in Seattle, that's white privilege. Yeah, I acknowledge all of that. But I also think that when you have a bunch of white Seattle liberals or Seattle idealized liberals who are at the head of all of these meetings, and they start everything with a land acknowledgement. And as I was going through this long, and by the way, TVW does a great job covering state meetings, because they don't have a bias. They just provide open look at government for all of us. But I sat and watched this long multi-hour TVW video, and everything starts with their land acknowledgement, but it's so rote. It's not like there's 1 ounce of sincerity behind any of these words.
Okay, if we want to open our meeting with a land acknowledgement, as is our practice, as is the board's practice, we start the meeting by acknowledging that the statewide meeting joins and works with Native American communities on the traditional lands of 29 federally recognized tribes and many other Native American tribes that have not received federal recognition. We acknowledge that peoples native to this land have not been well served by our educational system, especially in these difficult times. It is important to honor all students and to promote unity. We ask that you join us in the State Board's commitment to recognizing the important history of Native people and honoring Washington's tribes.
Okay, explain something to me. First of all, he's just reading from a sheet of paper, this guy. Secondly, we have had the far left in charge of education in this state for my entire lifetime. So why are things still so bad? When you say that we don't acknowledge and we don't help certain groups, and it's your fault. You've been in charge solely. Your party, your ideology, and yet you think if you just pick up a piece of paper and read it a billion times, because that's what they do. They read it before every meeting, like that somehow absolves them of the fact that, you know, what the words are saying. That we're not teaching these kids, we're not serving them well. Why don't you just all resign and let somebody else teach the kids and serve the kids if you're going to just read a sheet of paper and say how crappy a job you've been doing for my entire lifetime in this state? That doesn't help anybody. And then they went to this consultant, name's Jasmine Patron Vargas, that the State Board of Education has signed on. And she was back in Chicago, and she has to start with her, you know, rote words.
Today I'm going to be presenting on some of the work that I've been doing over the last months on an ethnic studies concept paper. And I just want to mention that I'm tuning in from the occupied land of the Potawatomi people, also known as Chicago. So I'm going to go ahead and move on.
Why? Why are you in the occupied land of the Potawatomi people? You could be anywhere in the country. Why are you in Chicago delivering this to the Washington State Board of Education? But then you can just read a line and say, I'm in the occupied land of the Potawatomi people, and that absolves you of whatever guilt you are feeling. Why don't you just get off the land? If you feel so much guilt about it. No, I'll just read something. And then I'll show everybody, I'll virtue signal how noble I am by reading something at the beginning of every meeting, telling everybody what a lousy job we're doing. Yeah, that's great. That's great for kids. So then what I found out from this consultant, Jasmine Patron Vargas, is that K through 12 education is a system of oppression that they want to tear down.
So one of the questions that we asked attendees when we held these listening sessions about what they would like to see in an ethnic studies requirement, is that what do they see as the purpose being for ethnic studies? And one of the most significant themes that came out of that is that at the root of it, Washington residents would like ethnic studies, essentially to challenge and destabilize systems of oppression.
Oh, the schools are a system of oppression and they want to destabilize the schools. So what they want is this equity requirement to graduate. And what they do, of course, is they just tell everybody, you know, the white kids, you should all feel guilty. Black and brown kids, you don't have a chance. Critical race theory. And we'll just keep talking about how lousy a job we do. You've been in charge, your party. Your ideology, your radical leftism has been in charge of education for my entire life in this state, and you're telling me how lousy it is still. What's the definition of insanity? Well, they just want us to tear down the schools.
And so as one attendee said that, I think really sums it up, is tearing down the default, right? Tearing down the standard, tearing down those conventional views and perspectives that have dominated education.
Yeah, let's tear down everything that my party has been telling you for the last 50 years. It's so ridiculous. So then I know we had Lee Finna from the Washington Policy Center as a guest on the show while I was gone, but she spoke at this meeting and she was just devastatingly effective. She said, look, this just proves what we've been saying, that they just want to tear down the schools. They don't want to build up the kids.
The testimony we heard earlier confirms our research that public school officials are lowering academic standards as they implement critical race theory. The current ethnic studies critical race theory approach is already destabilizing public education in Washington state by creating unnecessary controversy and causing many families and teachers to leave the public schools.
In fact, 55,000 kids have left the public schools in our state, and they thought, well, maybe it's COVID, but they admitted a month or two ago that it's not COVID. It's because people have realized that the schools aren't serving their kids very well. And so the reason it's not they're not serving the kids is because all they're doing is talking about all of this, you know, racial, critical race theory. Let's get a equity component to graduation. What about just teaching kids? What about just teaching them the basics that'll make them competitive with the rest of the world?
Learning emphasis on math, science, writing skills, reading comprehension, and independent thinking for all students is being reduced. These neutral skill standards are being replaced with a new racially based focus on white supremacy culture, settler colonialism, racism, power dynamics, position and privilege, and racial bias.
In other words, critical race theory is rearing its ugly head throughout our state.
These concepts are drawn from the controversial critical race theory ideology disseminated by socialist professors at universities. They have not been developed by professionals in child development or pedagogical experts in K-12 education, and they shift student focus away from study time on core learning and subject mastery. For example, an English study, instead of gaining mastery in sentence structure, vocabulary, self-expression, and communication, students receive instruction in the areas of white supremacy, institutional racism, and white privilege.
Yeah, they have. They've shifted away from basics of education to just telling us how crappy a job they have done as a party, as an ideology running the schools, and now they want to make it even worse by accelerating in the direction away from basic education. And I'm glad Lee Finney was there to speak some sense into this meeting.
For example, an English study, instead of gaining mastery in sentence structure, vocabulary, self-expression, and communication.
But she also talked about what this means for our kids.
By reducing class time, demoralizing students, and constraining professional educators, the ethnic studies and critical race theory agenda denies students access to the basic skills and knowledge necessary to succeed in life and compete in a global society. Lower standards also prevent students from reaching their fullest personal potential.
So true. Yeah, instead of letting our kids compete with the rest of the world, we'll just show the rest of the world that we can be more victims and victimizers and victimization than any place else in the world. And we'll forget about science, forget about English, forget about math. Plus, math is racist. Remember, 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4, according to this new theory. So that's the status of education in our state right now. The people who have, by their own admission, made the schools so horrible, they have to apologize at the beginning of every meeting. They have to tell us in the middle of every meeting what a horrible job they're doing. They want even more money and power and control. It's unbelievable. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news for you. And then one of the most blatant lies a local politician has ever told, ignored by most in the media, exposed by the Dory Monson Show. We'll tell you about it coming up right after the news as we roll on. So in New York City yesterday, their lame duck mayor, Bill de Blasio, he announced that he's going to have a vaccine mandate now for every private company worker and for every child over the age of five. Now, as you just heard in the newscast, judges are striking down Joe Biden's federal mandates left and right. So there's no way that the mayor of New York City can tell every private employer that every one of their workers must be vaxxed or else get fired. But that's what's happening right now. But it's, you know, the party of science is in charge now. Joe Biden, the number of COVID deaths since Joe Biden became president, more than 350,000 people have died from COVID just since Joe Biden became president. And he's had the vaccine his entire presidency. Joe, what should happen to a president like you who has presided over 350,000 COVID deaths?
If you wake up thinking about the markets...
What? Nicole, what happened to my Biden audio there?
Oh, it's probably an ad. Hang on.
Okay, fix that for me. Okay, I'll come back to that at the end of the segment. I want to expose the lie, the biggest political local lie that has gotten almost no attention from the local media. We have an unbelievable uptick in youth violence around here. And that's because the gangs are recruiting children to sell drugs. The cartels are moving the drugs right up to Seattle and King County. And then street gangs are selling the drugs. The street gangs are recruiting 13, 14, 15-year-old children to sell the drugs, knowing that those children will never get punished for what they're doing. I talked to the mayor of Kent, Dana Ralph, last week, and she acknowledged what I'm saying is absolutely true.
What I can tell you is, I agree with all of those things. King County has been, by choice, very lax in prosecution of drug crimes. You throw in the Blake decision from earlier this year that essentially decriminalizes possession.
Right.
And it's a huge problem that all of us sort of working here on the ground knew was coming.
But I've been talking to Homeland Security and the DEA. You've heard all these interviews if you're a constant listener. And they're telling me that 13, 14, 15-year-olds are being recruited to sell the drugs here in King County because there are no legal consequences. And there are no legal consequences because Dow Constantine has been bragging that even if you're a criminal, even if you're a drug-dealing child, if you're a killer child, if you are a rapist child, Dow will keep you out of jail because he's your Dow dad.
We're helping kids stay in school, graduate, and avoid the criminal legal system, and I've succeeded in driving down the youth detention rate nearly tenfold.
Yes, because he's not prosecuting any youth crimes. And by the way, that's a meaningless number. He's driven down youth incarceration tenfold. If you know anything about mathematics, that number doesn't work. That phrasing doesn't work. But anyway, that's Dow Constantine. Dow also told us, though, that because of him not locking up criminals and making sure that the drug dealers can work unimpeded, Dow has told us that he's done a bang-up job.
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention and aid to victims of domestic violence and other crimes, and collaborating with communities to create real safety.
Huh? Dow Constantine says they are investing in reducing gun violence. David Rose, is that true?
Well, gun violence and shootings continue growing at an alarming rate.
New data just released shows that King County has exceeded the historic record of gun violence seen in all of 2020.
But what? We've exceeded the historic level of last year in just the first 9 months of this year? No, wait. What did Dow say? Maybe I misheard it.
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention. And
you, Channel 13?
Well, gun violence and shootings continue growing at an alarming rate.
Huh. Who's lying here? Well, David Rose is my buddy. He doesn't lie. I know that. And plus, I just got a new batch of statistics from King County on Friday, saying that in the first 9 months of 2021, murders are at a record number, exceeding all of last year. Shootings at a record number, number of people who have been shot, you know, gunfire and shootings and murders, all at record levels. And then Dow Constein has the audacity.
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence.
So my question is, politicians lie. And Dow Constein is, as we've chronicled over the years, he lies as much or more than any politician. So we have just proven how much he lies in that statistic. But again, I ask the question, where's the rest of the media? Why isn't it front page of the Seattle Times, lead story on all the TV stations? Why isn't it that Dow Constein is blatantly lying because children are dying because of his lies? They're releasing rapists and murderers and drug dealers, and then they go out in the streets. They get killed. Their children are dying because of Dow Constein's policies. Why doesn't he get called out on it? Why is he allowed to keep shoving out these lies? Hey, look, I like that I have a niche on that. If nobody else wants to expose all of this nonsense, I'm happy to continue to do it here. Okay, real quick, the thing I was talking about right before I got all sidetracked there is Joe Biden. He said that we have 350,000 people have died from COVID since Joe Biden's become president. So Joe Biden, what should happen to Joe Biden?
220,000 Americans dead. You hear nothing else.
Wait, that was under Donald Trump. Okay. And it's much worse under you. So what should happen to you?
220,000 Americans dead. You hear nothing else I say tonight. Hear this. Anyone who's responsible for not taking control, in fact, not saying I take no responsibility initially, anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America.
Wow. That was when 220,000 died last year. Now almost double that many have died. Joe Biden is calling for the removal of Joe Biden as president. This is an historic day. Not since Nixon have we seen a day like this. Unbelievable. Joe Biden, Dow Constein. Yeah, you guys keep going. Okay, we will count down our favorite sound bites of the entire day. Coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Good to be back, and it's time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
That's what happens when I've been gone for a few days. I'm rusty, man. Let's start with a little Christmas music. John Rich, the country singer, big and rich, you know. And then Mike Rowe is the host of Dirty Jobs. We've had Mike on a few times on this show. Great guy. They decided to do a Christmas song together because John Rich was thinking about how Mike Rowe has this show called Dirty Jobs, and they thought, we'll combine our music and your passion, Mike Rowe.
Santa Claus got a dirty job. Santa Claus got a dirty job. Santa Claus got a dirty job, and he does it all night long.
Tell him about it, Mike.
Well, every year old Santa Claus loads up in his sleigh, and them reindeer running in front of him kick mud up in his face.
And those chimneys he goes sliding down ain't exactly all that fun. But if he don't do it, nobody will. So Santa's going to get the job done. Don't you know that Santa Claus got a job?
Good song. John Rich and Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. Next up in our awesome audio, a guy named Alexander McLeish. He's in Massachusetts, and he had open heart surgery, and a friend decided to give him a get well card and slipped in one of those scratch off lottery tickets in the card.
I was appreciative that I got the card with the two scratch offs. And then when I actually scratched it and knew it was a winner, I was, disbelief, shocked, you know, at first, and then a little bit emotional, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
Not only did he have successful open heart surgery, but he won $1 million. He says he's going to give a little of it to the guy who gave him the scratch off ticket. He should probably give half, shouldn't he? I don't know. Then finally, in our awesome audio, today is Sean DeTore's last day working the board on the big show, but you're going to stay at the radio station. People are going to hear your voice on spots because you're moving into production, Sean. And one of the things you've been great at is sometimes I forget to listen to stuff I play on the air. And I thought I would give you the ultimate test. This was a Nancy Pelosi from a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know what she was saying here.
Well, it's most of the product that we've done is, except now we may have added in the last day or so. And some of what we added is Senate to the bill, like a hearing. Bernie doesn't like hearing. Excuse me. Bernie loves hearing. So we are getting some bird and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is deadless to a bill. Bird ball, it's important. It's, you have to take it out. We want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or bird bath or privilege scrub. They're the two exercises we're engaged, bathing exercises we're engaged in.
Knowing this is your last day, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't pay attention the first time I played the Pelosi cut, I didn't pay attention this time either.
Really?
Just in the hopes that you could one last time do a transcription and read back for me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Would you? Okay. So here's Nancy Pelosi through the voice of Sean DeTore.
Well, it's most of the product that we've done is set now. We may have added it in the last day or so, and some of what we added is Senate to the bill. Like hearing, Bernie doesn't like hearing. Excuse me, Bernie loves hearing. So we are getting some bird and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege strug is diddless to a bill. Birdable, not. It's important if you have to take it out to be want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or bird bath or privilege scrub. They're the two exercises we're getting, case bathing exercises we're engaged in.
I'm going to miss you making sense of the news for me like that, Sean.
Thanks, Dory. I am going to miss working with you and Nicole as well.
Okay, but Sean's staying in the building, moving over to the production side. Andrew Enzel is going to be our full-time board op, which is great. All right, Sean, thank you for everything over the years, my friend. I really appreciate you.
No problem, Dory. Thank you.
And you know the best part about this? Since you are moving to the new job on December 8th,
yes.
Finally, I don't have to get you a Christmas gift this year.
Yes!
Yes!
I mean, no!
Great timing! All right, thanks, Sean. All right, I got to get out of here, man. I've been sick. I got to go rest. What's the new show called, Nicole?
The new show, I'm Nicole for the moment. It's John, the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show.
Yeah. Huh. Is it any good? Should I tune in?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. It's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Hello. This show is truly good for nothing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.